The Beatles in America, 1964. That's our focus on this edition of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
I give him all my love. That's all I do. And if you saw my love, you'd love him too. I love him. He gives me everything and tenderly the kiss my lover brings.
My daughter needs a new phonograph. She wore out all the needles. Besides, I broke the old one in half. I hate the Beatles. She says they have a Liverpool beat. She says they used to play there. Four nice kids from off of the street. Why didn't they stay there? What is all the screaming about? Fainting and swooning. Sounds to me like their guitars could use a little tuning. The boys are from the British Empire. The British think they're keen. If that is what the British desire, God save the Queen. No daughter of mine can push me around. In my house I'm the master. But when the Beatles came into town, gad, what a disaster. Little girls in sneakers and jeans destroyed the territory. 'Twas like some of the gorier scenes from West Side Story. Of course my daughter had to go there. The tickets are cheap, she hollers. I was able to pick up a pair for $47. When the Beatles come on the stage, they scream and shriek and cheer them. Now I know why they're such a rage. It's impossible to hear them. Ringo is the one with the drum. The others all play with him. shows you what a boy can become without a sense of rhythm. There's Beatle books and t-shirts and rings and one thing and another. To buy my daughter all of these things, I had to sell her brother. Back in 1776, we fought the British then, folks. Parents of America, it's time to do it again, folks. They come back, here's how we'll begin. We'll throw them in Boston Harbor. But please, before we toss them all in, let's take them to a barber.
On Friday night to have a ball, I took my girl to the music hall. The crowd was lined for blocks around the night them four boys came to town. As we sat in that mammoth place, I saw the look upon her face as she screamed, I boiled with rage. Her heart was up there on the stage with Ringo.
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 Ringo. What is it with this girl of mine? Until that night our love was fine. Now I call her on the phone. She says she'd rather be alone. She listens to her hi-fi set and digs that guy she never met. My picture stood beside her bed. Now a new one's there instead. It's Ringo.
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 Ringo. I didn't see her for quite a while. I thought I'd better change my style. I got some drums and tried to play. I practiced on them night and day. I wore rings on each hand. I even formed a swinging band. My rings, my drums, my spot of tea. I learned all this so I could be like Ringo.
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 Ringo. I let my hair grow long like his, pretending I was in showbiz. They called my mother up to school, they said I must have blown my cool. They said your son is acting bad, he thinks he is the English lad. But I didn't care about disgrace, if only I could take the place of Ringo.
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 Ringo. Then came the night I can't forget, the night when once again we met. And as I looked, to my surprise, I saw the tears come to her eyes. She said her foolish fling had passed, and now I knew the truth at last. 'Cause between her sighs, her sobs, her moans, she said she loved the Rolling Stones, not Ringo. Ringo.
Ringo.
Ringo.
Dick Lord, in 1964, a disc jockey for a radio station in San Bernardino, California, who occasionally made novelty records on the side with Like Ringo. Before that, Alan Sherman's parody of A Common Parental Lament of 1964, Pop Hates the Beatles. The program started with Esther Phillips performing a hit song from the Beatles' first movie, And I Love Him. The arrival of the Beatles in New York City on the 7th of February, 1964, seems today, over four decades removed, to be a freak occurrence. Today, it would be impossible to get thousands of New York teenagers to jam Kennedy International Airport to greet anybody, let alone some rock band from England. But that's exactly what happened. The Beatles were in New York to appear on The Ed Sullivan Show, the popular variety hour on the CBS network hosted by the noted columnist for the New York Daily News. And later in the week, they would be performing at the Washington Coliseum and New York's Carnegie Hall. John Lennon added that the only thing that he actually anticipated doing was picking up a few new albums to take back to London. What follows here is a news report from a BBC pop music program called Saturday Club that was aired Saturday mornings in the UK, describing the effects of the arrival to the Beatles' home country the day after their arrival.
Malcolm Davis in New York for Saturday Club. Well, they have arrived, and such a reception has never been given a head of state, at least one that would compare with the welcome the Beatles received when they flew into New York. I went to one of New York's most popular rock and roll stations and interviewed a disc jockey who broadcasts under the name of Murray the K.
On your own disc jockey program, how much time do you give to their recordings?
As much as a half hour on the Beatles, a half hour at a time. I play at least four different Beatle cuts in every show. And then lately, because of the tremendous impact of them coming over here, I've repeated it. The reaction, of course, has been amazing to me for the simple reason that we have not, to this point, have ever seen them perform.
As an act, would you say that they are going to have a greater impact than Elvis Presley had?
They've had already an initial impact greater than Elvis Presley had, certainly. I've never seen anything like this. And the first time in the history of show business that a group has ever had an impact. We've had the Frank Sinatras and the Elvis Presleys and the Frankie Avalons and the Fabians and the likes of that. But I've never seen a group, per se, ever have this type of popularity. And it's just to see how they're going to be able to follow up and how they're going to be able to sustain. This is going to be very interesting to me to see this. But I wish them a lot of luck. I think that if anybody who can get to where they have reached, no matter how they get there, deserve it, because this is a phenomenon.
Well, Murray, thank you very much for taking time out from WINS to be on the BBC. And now let's listen to Murray as he gives the Beatles a plug.
It's another first from 1010 Wins. How would you like an authentic Beatles sweatshirt worth $5? Yeah, thought you would. Okay, now here's the whole story. 1010 Wins has thousands of Beatles sweatshirts. And someplace in Winsland, sometime during the next week, we'll be giving them all away, all at once, all for you. Now, keep tuned to Wins, and we'll give you just 2 hours' notice, no more. 2 hours' notice, and when you hear that word, drop everything and come a-running. Oh, one more thing. These Beatles sweatshirts won't cost a penny, but in order to get yours, you'll have to trade in your old cuckoo, cuckoo sweatshirt. But that's all right, isn't it, Beatles?
Yeah.
Murray told me he'd given away nearly 5,000 sweatshirts and 72 wigs to his teenage listeners. That was Thursday evening. Friday morning, I went out to Kennedy International Airport for an experience that I'm sure will never be duplicated. This is truly Beatlemania. That was the kind of noise the photographers, radio, and television reporters had to work in to report the arrival of the Beatles. After I had literally fought my way into the press room and prepared the equipment, I went out and spoke with some of the fans.
Are you going to wear a Beatle wig?
Yes, well, my father's buying one, and I have already promised everybody I'd wear it to school on Monday.
How about you? Are you going to wear one?
I'm making one out of a mop.
Making a wig out of a mop?
Out of a mop.
Are you going to dye it black?
I'm not going to dye it anything. I figured it looked better if I have white hair. More sophisticated.
Tell me, what do you think of the Beatles as entertainers?
Well, I think they're marvelous. They're, as my friends have said, they're different, and they brought a style to America that's so completely different than the American singers. That's why they're so great.
In what way do you think that they're different?
Well, in the United States, we've had run-of-the-mill singers. A new fast beat and everything started, and then everybody's picking it up, and it sort of got drab, and you find the same things over and over again. But the Beatles come with a new kind of song. It's hard to describe, but it's just so much different than the American style.
After speaking with these truly enthusiastic teenagers, I went onto the ramp to meet the plane. This is what happened when it arrived.
This is the moment they're waiting for. Here they arrive. They're stepping off the plane now. It's absolutely... You can hear the yelling in the background. It's tremendous. They're being photographed on the steps of the plane by all the many photographers and cameramen from all the American major radio and television networks. They're looking up at the crowds and waving. It's incredible. They're wearing their wigs, and the hoodoos are really quite something. The hostess is escorting them down the steps of the plane.
now. They're making all sorts of peculiar gestures with their faces and their hands. They're really playing up this part as much as they can. They've been stopped at the moment on the steps so that more pictures can be taken, and newsreel cameramen are actually photographing the same thing just as I'm describing it to you right now. These kids have been here since 10 o'clock this morning. That is roughly around about 3.5 hours now. They've been waiting for them. The photographers are pushing each other aside so they can get pictures. The police have now surrounded them. They're now being escorted into the building, and the teenagers are really having their day right now.
After that tremendous reception, I took a taxi back into Manhattan to be in front of the hotel and talk with more fans and to be on hand for their arrival.
What do you think of it?
I think they're really great. A whole bunch of us skip school today to come down and see them.
You skip school?
Yeah.
Do your parents know?
No, not yet.
What? Are you going to tell them?
They know, because it's school.
How about you?
Yeah, my parents know, but when mother wrote me a note, so I skipped.
As you can hear, this is the kind of reception that they're getting over here in New York. This is really quite a unique experience for New York Plaza Hotel. The Plaza Hotel is perhaps one of the most stately hotels here in New York and is seldom accustomed to having crowds like this outside, especially in the case of teenagers. Nobody knows exactly where the Beatles will be in the Plaza Hotel at this point, but there are all sorts of people trying to find out their room numbers. They should be coming along here to the Plaza momentarily. This is the quickest job that they have actually done so far. They've been hustled straight into the hotel. They haven't had a chance to be photographed here or for the teenagers to get a chance to look at them. They were whisked immediately into the hotel. And that's the scene here at the Plaza Hotel as they have arrived. And that was how New York welcomed the Beatles. They were obviously overwhelmed with their reception, and indeed, they had every reason to be.
Paul here. It was fantastic, you know, because we just didn't believe it. So leaving England and you know, it was a great send-off from England. We thought, well, you know, they couldn't be as good as that. But when we arrived, they were all just sort of hanging all over the airport. Yeah, and we were just sort of driving along and listening to the DJ show on the radio. And as we were going along, it was reporting it, you know, and the fellow saying, and in 20 minutes' time, we are going to switch over to the Plaza Hotel, New York. You know, and it's great. Marvellous. And just as we were getting out of the car, he said, we hear they've arrived now. Fantastic, you know. Professor Lennon, the wild, they're all wild. They just seem to go, maybe it's just the first impression, yeah. They just seem all out of their minds. They've got so many programs, so we're on all the news. It's ridiculous. Ringo? Well, we had this big mass press interview with, about 100 people there, you know. And then we got out of that, and then we had a Cadillac each. Here's George now. You know, in New York, the three records, Please Please Me, She Loves You, and I Want to Hold Your Hand, are all number one. Joint.
New Yorkers are now, without doubt, besieged with Beatlemania. This is Malcolm Davis in New York. Now back to Brian Matthew and Saturday Club in London.
You know, if you break my heart, I'll go, but I'll be back again. 'Cause I told you once before goodbye, but I came back again. I love you so. I'm the one who wants you. Yes, I'm the one who wants you. Oh, 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 oh. You could find better things to do than to break my heart again. This time I will try to show that I'm not trying to pretend. I ran away from you, that you would want me to, that I got a big surprise. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do than to break my heart again. This time I will try to show that I'm not trying to pretend. I wanna go, but I hate to leave you. You know I hate to leave you. Oh, 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 you. If you break my heart, I'll go, but I'll be back again.
The Beatles themselves, with a John Lennon Paul McCartney song entitled I'll Be Back. This is Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie. And they were back. The frenzy over the Beatles did not dissipate once they returned to England from the United States, nor was it limited to this country. When the group returned in the summer of 1964 for a tour in support of their first movie, A Hard Day's Night, one of the stops was Vancouver, British Columbia, where they performed at Empire Stadium on the 22nd of August. Radio station CKNW, based in nearby New Westminster, covered the arrival and pre-concert press conference live. This is an air check, or a recording from the station's broadcast signal, of much of that coverage.
I had a couple of interesting facts that I did. Just what are the Beatles going to get out of this tonight in the way of money?
Well, they're going to get 60% of everything that comes in here, Jack.
I heard there's about 20,000 paid up types coming here tonight.
I would think they will get 60% of 80,000, and I was very poor at figures in school, so somebody can work that out.
Yeah. Incidentally, the lights keep blowing out here. This is probably because we have, I can see to my eye, something like 20 microphones. Every television camera is pretty well represented out here tonight, and it's a good crowd, and I notice even a few teenage girls managed to get in. Do you know who they rep?
No, but if they're not doing anything after this press conference, they should be interesting to talk to.
Yes, there must be all of 50 of us in the room, and in front of us we have four microphones, one for each one of the Beatles. They have a lovely posh Chesterfield, and they're on a little elevated stage. But we'll check in a little later on. They've not arrived in the press conference room yet, but when they do, you'll hear it all live here on NW.
Okay, Jack, thank you. We'll open our birthday phone lines now while we're waiting for more from you from Empire Stadium. Press room number 19. Here's Jack Cullen with some color on the Beatles.
No, they didn't go as far as I know. Oh, at the press conference. And with me, by the way, is a representative, and I think he said, of the Tampa Tribune. Is that correct?
Tampa Tribune.
And
yes,
again,
sir.
Your name is?
Fred Paul.
And Fred, you are traveling with the group, are you?
Yes, I am.
And why are you traveling with the group?
Well, it actually was a project of my own, as I explained to Mr. Simpson downtown. I decided on this about 5 days ago, and I'm not in the plane with them. I've had to take commercial aircraft all the way through, and I'm not employed by the Tampa Tribune as a regular staff reporter. I'm doing this as a complete freelance operation, my tour with the Beatles. So far, I can only describe it as exciting, wonderful. It's been the biggest thing of my life.
Really, what has been the wildest scene that you've seen between Florida and here?
Well, the wildest experience was last night in Seattle. The crowd simply went wild. How they managed to get outside of the Coliseum and to the limousines so fast is what's unbelievable. They completely went ape over the car. They tore the aerials off, smashed in the roof, tore the lights off. One man was trying to get through with his motorcycle, and they tore the aerials off his motorcycle. And motorcycles, clubs, nothing stopped them. They had to get at that car, and at one time they even opened the door to the car.
You might tell us this, since you sat in on previous press conferences. What might we expect here at this rather heated press conference already? The temperature in here must be about 90 degrees.
Well, it's usually a very relaxed atmosphere. They're quite comical, they're very sharp, and most of their answers are very witty and very humorous. They come back very quick. They enjoy them, I think. But it's not very long. They're only about 17 minutes altogether.
That'll do just enough. That's plenty warm in here. But we'll be covering a lot more out here tonight. And by the way, thanks a million. Okay, back to you, Norm.
Okay, Jack, thank you. 18 minutes after 7 o'clock so far in press conference room. Jack, please.
We're still backstage here at the press conference in room 19, and this, of course, is at Empire Stadium. With me on the right is a man that seems to know a little about the Beatles, and it's my suspicion that he might even be a part of the group. I'll be very embarrassed if he's with a rival radio station in town, but that's the gamble you take when you poke a microphone in a person's face and say, "Hi, I'm Jack Cullen, and you're..."
Larry Kane. I'm one of three broadcast newsmen from the United States who are traveling with the Beatles on their 30-day tour.
What have some of these press conferences dug up that you didn't know before about the Beatles?
Well, actually, we'll learn more from just being around them and seeing the shows and from the press conferences. Their shows themselves show that they are very electrifying in person, that their songs, just as they are on record, are the same in person. I mean, there's no basic sound difference. And we've learned another thing, that as the show builds up, crowd hysteria grows. Very interesting to watch.
By the way, speaking of the show itself, the Beatles will probably be on stage about 9 o'clock, and indeed, for how long would they actually be performing themselves?
About 40 minutes? 30
about
minutes.
30 minutes. What have they surrounded themselves with in the way of assistance for the show itself?
They have an equipment manager and a road manager, yeah. As far as putting... are you talking about other acts?
Talent, right.
Well, they have the Exciters. They have the Righteous Brothers. They're from the West Coast. Jackie DeShannon. And who else? And the Bill Black combo. Mm. Bill Black combo.
And an excellent combo at that. So there is some of the color backstage here, room 19 at Empire Stadium. And when things start to pop here, we'll report right back with you. Norm, back to you.
Once again, find out if anything new has transpired since our last communication with Jack Cullen. Let's go to Empire Stadium now.
Well, the fever mounts here, the excitement of the Beatles, and they still have not yet made a showing. And meantime, I think that you would agree that the temperature here must be all of 80 or 90 degrees. Orm Turner's over here from the Vancouver province, and Orm has spread a lot of rumors about the Beatles, some of them true, some of them false. What do you hear?
Well, I'm surprised that so many of them are accurate.
Yeah. Such as?
Well, such as the fact that they were going to be arriving later than they expected.
Right, yeah.
Such as the fact they were going to be arriving at the RCAF depot instead of the main airport.
Yep.
The fact that they would not be staying at the Hotel Georgia?
That looks like that's going to be borne out. I don't think they will either.
I think you're right.
Where do you think, from here directly back to Seattle?
I think so.
Okay. Good crowd here?
I would think it's going to be an extremely good crowd. I know my wife gave my daughter a tranquilizer before bringing her.
Why didn't you bring me one? Fan both of us while you're at it, will you? Our friend here is busy fanning himself with a magazine, and that's an indication to you of how warm it is out here tonight at the press conference where we still await the Beatles. Meantime, Norm has...
Will be raining and birds will be singing.
It's just 20 minutes until 8 o'clock. Let's get back out to Empire Stadium and get another version of the activity out there. Come in, whoever you are.
The radio station in Vancouver is represented here. Some will be carrying the broadcast live, as we will. I notice particularly I'm amazed to find Vancouver's good music station, CHQM, is represented here, and this may be an indication they will be changing their musical policy in the near future. At any rate, Rini Costolani is here. Jack Webster's had very little to say tonight. I was just mentioning that QM is represented here, and perhaps they'll be changing their musical format soon.
That's a piece of Adam snobbery. You know why they're here? So that one of the juvenile delinquent salesmen can be present officially.
Now, you mustn't be nasty about it. But what are you doing here tonight, Mr. Webster? Are you a Beatle fan?
No, I'm here in case there's a riot and 10 people might be trampled. You never know. I'm purely here as a sensationalist newsman in case there's mass hysteria.
I'm glad to see you brought your prayer mat with you. Webster will report along with us from room 19 at Empire Stadium, where we still await the Beatles.
Yeah, I talked to him. I said, "Here, Ringo, would you like to say something?"
And he said, "I have nothing to declare." So he was talking to the customs man, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, but then I tried to get him on the air, but I had some technical difficulties, and I wasn't able to put him on the air. Do you know that, Norm, that all four of them, you stand them on their heads, you know, stand them up one on top of each other. You and I standing on top of each other would be taller than them. They all walked underneath my elbows. They're not very big.
Well, they came from Liverpool, you know, and things were kind of tough. They were a little short on chow in Liverpool, so they didn't grow them too tall.
I thought that was a feature of coal mines, but they aren't very big at all. They're skinny little guys. They can't weigh 130 pounds.
A piece. Is that
a corporate weight. No, they are small little guys, and they look friendly, quite shy little fellas, actually.
Yeah. Is that real hair?
It is. Yeah, one of them That's needed a own. Shave, yes. I didn't know which one that was. I don't know one. All I know is Ringo. He's the ugly one.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No, Al.
You probably have been closer to the Beatles than a lot of people in Vancouver will be for the next while. Do you have any other impressions of the Beatles? Did they look tired, for instance?
No, they didn't. They look like ordinary, everyday teenagers. They're a little shy and a little overwhelmed by it all. They're surrounded by all this, you know, entourage that everybody has, managers and handlers and secretaries and pilots. But they just bustled right through customs, and they smiled for their fans, and they stopped, and they smiled at the few of the Air Force people's families were there. And they seemed like very nice people, but they aren't very big, you know. For all that money and all that fame, that they aren't. The four of them are about the same size, and... Well, they wouldn't play basketball, that's all I can say.
No. Now, how many people would you estimate were out there at the RCAF station, or at least as close as they could get?
Oh, well, starting down at the Maury Channel Bridge, which...
which opened.
You know, I've been joking about that for weeks, but I had nothing to do with it. And there were lots of fans there. I'd say there were maybe 400 there. And then as we got into Richmond, there were another, maybe 400 there, and then Oak Street looked like the PNE parade was going to come up, but there were that many people, and then they pulled that funny in the middle of Oak Street. They whipped over to Granville and took off from me with the Vancouver Police Escort, and they were going like crazy. They were really moving when they got the Vancouver Police Escort and roared across the bridge.
This is across the
Oak Street Bridge, onto Oak Street, and then they whipped down Granville, and from there on, I lost them. I'd have got tickets galore.
We had a call from a listener downtown. She lived on Chilco Street, and she said, the Beatles have just passed my house, and she says they're heading up toward Georgia. So I thought, well, they've probably gone to the hotel. And then another listener phoned and said, no, Norm, they've just skedaddled through town and gone across the Lions Gate over the North Shore, and were expected to come in on the second narrows to Empire Stadium.
So maybe they went to a hotel over there. I don't think they were in there. They weren't in their costumes. They're going to perform indefinitely not. But
The screaming, we had a report from Empire Stadium outside with Jack Cullen, and there were a lot of kids screaming. Apparently someone did arrive, but it could have been any of the entourage of musicians and performers the Beatles.
No.
Because they're not there yet.
Well, yes, they are.
Oh,
At least police motorcycles and two of the cars that were in the cavalcade, I saw them coming out of the Empire Stadium that was screaming about then. So obviously some of their party's there, if not the Beatles themselves.
That's exactly it. They've done a clever thing. They've ditched somewhere, and
They're in a black Cadillac.
The pack has been following the entourage, and the Beatles have skipped somewhere. Did you see the movie A Hard Day's Night?
Not yet.
They do clever things, you know. They'll get in one car, in one door, and right out the other side and get into a car that's parked across the street. And everybody follows the car that they got into, but no one sees them get out, you see.
Well, I don't think they did this. There's still one black limousine unaccounted for, a big long one with four little guys in it.
If you have seen a long black limousine with four little guys in it that weigh about 130 pounds each, report to Bruce Hood immediately.
Right, yes.
Okay.
From what I understand, the Beatles will be here in just about 6 minutes. Meantime, I've just learned one thing, that regardless of all the money the Beatles make, do you know what they had for dinner tonight?
Well, no, he knows what they had for dinner tonight.
I know, too.
With me now, what's your name, son?
Fulton Mackey.
Fulton Mackey.
Yes.
And are you an official here?
Yes.
Official of what?
I'm an errand boy for
Ed Meyer.
Yeah.
Have you been doing some errands tonight for the Beatles?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I ran and got salt and salted Ringo's hamburger.
No kidding. Eh?
And not only that, I believe 19-cent hamburgers, they got them from King's. Now, with the money they make, I think at least they would have a steak.
Were they all having hamburgers, Fulton?
Yes, they all have hamburgers and milkshakes.
And tell me, do they eat with both hands or just one hand?
Both hands.
Both hands.
I was afraid to say with their feet. No. At any rate, we'll find that out
in
just a few minutes.
Did they take lots
of salt? Yes.
Did you get their autographs?
Well, no, only one used salt. That was Ringo.
Just the one. How did you get the drag to get down there, though? Where did you get all this drag? We've been waiting here for an hour for them. 99 reporters sweating to death in the black hole of Calcutta.
Jack, I didn't know that we had this many reporters in Vancouver. I feel there must be a lot of fringe types here.
The name of Fulton. Fulton what?
Mackey.
Fulton Mackey will go down in history tonight as the first man in Vancouver to salt a hamburger for Ringo.
Indeed it would.
Thanks very much, Fulton.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
And thank you, Jack. We'll be back in a few minutes now. The conference is just about ready to roll. Were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, I just put that Beetleburger sign up there because last night at the conference, Paul was asked if there was any truth in this Beetleburgers, and he didn't know, so now we'll know.
That's from the Hotel Georgia. The Georgia presents the Beetle Burger, 95 cents, in honor of the Beatles' first appearance in Vancouver on Saturday, August the 22nd. I suspect that it's going to be a very brief appearance in Vancouver.
That was very funny, wasn't it?
The kid was cute. Yeah.
Cute kid. I hope he didn't think we were making a fool of him, because we weren't.
No, of course not.
He's really impressed.
I think we're just making fools of ourselves tonight, but that's another story. Let's go back to Norm right now.
But if any more news comes from that direction, Empire Stadium, come in.
Organization.
The plane was late. They wouldn't let him into Canada.
Why?
Because they had somebody had to be deloused before he came.
All right.
Well, it's a thought, Paul. It's a thought, John.
The Hotel Georgia would like to know, are you staying at the Hotel Georgia tonight, or are you carrying on to Seattle?
We're flying to somewhere.
Seattle.
Where are we going?
Where are you going to Los Angeles tonight?
Yes. L.A. or something.
You're flying out tonight?
Hello. Yes, sir.
May we have your suite for a party?
Certainly.
Right. Okay.
Why did you pay for them?
No. No.
Yes, you can have it as far as I'm concerned.
I can take it home.
What? The suite will stay.
Why wouldn't they let you into Canada?
Because the pilot didn't have a little stamp on his bit of paper.
We got here.
There's one little thing to go back.
That happened while you were in the air over Vancouver.
We were almost here, and he turned around, went back, got a little thing stamped on his passport.
And we had more chicken sandwiches.
And then we came again, and then the police took us for a 40-minute tour of the city.
Because they weren't ready here.
There was something not ready, you know.
How did you like it?
Apart from that, we were on very good.
Only we were starving, you know.
On a percentage basis these days, what are you taking out of America compared with Britain in earning power?
Money.
A half or a third?
Money.
Money, I'm aware.
Definitely. Yeah. No, we don't know how much, really.
Do you get more than that?
You won't believe us, Paul.
I think we get more here because we're so far away from home.
The only reason...
There's a rumour you own the Bank of England, is that correct?
No, we just borrow it now and then.
What's your deal with...
John.
What?
Just getting it clear, John.
John.
What is your deal with EMI, which of course is Capitol Records? Is it a long-term contract, and if so, how long?
No, I think
it expires next year.
Expires any year now.
Will you remain with them?
Well,
you'll buy them.
What are your plans for movies?
We've got to do a new one in February. We haven't made any plans for it as yet. We talked to the director.
No titles.
No, there's nothing.
No script. No actors.
Any marriage plans for anybody?
Me, John.
De Gaulle.
Anybody we know.
What is going to ever be in any of your upcoming films?
See, you're joking.
Why?
No. Are you going to do any more solos, Ringo, on any future records?
I suppose so, you know.
That's awfully nice.
When are you going to retire, fellas?
About 10 minutes. Not really, no.
Who's your favorite?
In the past interview, you once said that you didn't mind being in the spotlight 24 hours a day. Isn't there the odd time that you do enjoy doing comic things? You didn't have any of all yourself?
Right.
When we're asleep.
When is that?
I don't know.
Oh, there he is.
Are you going to emigrate to the States, Hollis?
No.
No.
Because we like England.
Who are your favorite recording artists?
Little Richard's one.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Marvin Gaye. Boy.
Horrible.
Mary Wells. The Exciters. The Miracles.
Derek Taylor.
When people were initially starting to...
Chuck Jackson.
Any influence in your style?
When they were with Buddy Holly, yeah.
Marion Williams.
How about the names? Did that have any influence? The Crickets and the Beatles?
Can't remember. It could have. No, so long ago.
Youngest reporter in the room. Come on.
Only 45.
What's the one?
Most unusual request we've ever had from a...
Well, I wouldn't like to say it.
Come on,
she's
only...
Well, the rockers think we're mods, and the mods think we're rockers.
Do you enjoy beating off girls?
We don't do it, the police do it.
Right.
Do you feel safe riding in an airplane?
Not really, as safe as you can be in an airplane.
You better write another book, John?
Yes.
When's it coming out?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be able to. I don't know about that either.
Does every city look the same?
No. Some have trees, some don't.
Other than the incident this afternoon, have you ever missed a performance at all because of something like this?
No, I don't think so.
How much money
have you collected since
we
started?
We don't know, really.
Nobody believes us.
Who does your bookkeeping?
They just feed you, eh?
We've got an accountant who sort of gets
the money.
Is
he trustworthy?
What do you pay
well, so. Every year.
Do you feel like get an allowance?
Yeah.
Just a wage. Not telling him.
It's enough, too.
John, you're the oldest of perhaps.
I'm not. He's the oldest. I'm the oldest.
What are your plans for the next 10 years?
Boris, what are your plans, son?
Can you speak up, please?
I haven't planned anything. I just keep going, you know, see what happens. It's more fun.
Ringo, are you engaged to Maureen Collins?
No.
Are you going to...
No. Anything else?
Even when you go.
Do you think overexposure with movies and too many record releases perhaps could damage your career at all?
We don't release any more records than anybody else. Just so
they made one movie.
They make everything we make into a single over here.
In fact,
we've made three albums.
Sorry, Paul.
In England, we made three albums.
And they've got seven out over here, about seven.
So work that out for yourself.
See,
they just make them up.
In fact, we've made less records than most people. I think we've only ever made seven singles.
Seven singles. It seems
to me like thousands, you know.
Over here, we get one every day.
Well, we only made seven, you know.
I noticed none of you smoke. Do you have any drinking habits?
We do smoke.
You do?
What's this?
Ah, right.
Not peanuts, you know.
And we drink. Drink, too.
How many of you
have
the three of us.
Three
of us. Who was the boy that was ahead of...
Fella called Pete Best.
Why did he quit?
Fella called Pete Best.
Why did he quit?
We threw him out. It was one of those things, you know. We called him and just said he was
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Just a bit over 30, yeah.
What's worse, facing the kids or a mob like this?
We enjoy it, you know. This even.
Has the press been unkind to you at any time, do you feel?
Sometimes.
Not the majority.
In which area?
Most.
Well, I'll tell you,
wind's
a variable. American
magazines,
movie-type magazines, and right. Secrets, and you know the truth behind the rumors and all that.
Do you have
so
any
many
secrets?
Of the, pardon?
Do you have any secrets?
They're not the ones that get into the magazines anyway.
Do you feel responsible for making Britannia rule the airwaves?
No. Oh, you worked that one out, didn't you?
Were you aware of the bomb threats in Seattle?
No. I think we must get about a bomb threat a day, you know.
A bomb a day?
You've got to forget about that.
Well, speaking of bombs, have you ever bombed at any appearance?
Bombed, it means it's different.
Yeah.
When we say down a bomb,
lay an egg, bombed out.
I don't think so.
Not in recent years.
Not recently, no.
What's the best city you've ever played?
I don't know.
Natural.
It's impossible.
Difficult. Actually, one of the wildest audiences was, I think, Glasgow, Scotland.
Is there any city that you would like to play
in? In Canada.
Or in the world.
Oh.
No.
London.
With all the money you make, is it true you had 19-cent hamburgers from King's for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got them off price.
That's what I mean. The limit's like
that. What do you say to the old books that say you've sentenced the taste of music back 20 years?
I think we are. There's only a man.
He's going to be hilarious.
No, he's moving too much anyway for his wife. I don't know. I've never heard that. So, you listen to me. Okay, keep going.
Who wants a cigarette?
No, it's not my own. Well, I've had these three on for 3 years, so
have
not
you got any tipped? I'll have a tipped one. Anyone got a tipped cigarette? Oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Only for about 5 minutes.
Making this money, it's still counting cigarettes.
About 10, and I'd wear anyway. I mean, there's hundreds of those. Well, not hundreds, but quite a lot of those.
Of course, you know, wouldn't
they're all on holiday.
What have you done for
them? No.
I don't know where that's
from. Well,
that
I think my dad's having a better time than I am.
He's got a
prefab each.
He's got a house, a racehorse, and he's just been for a week in Athens. I wish I was him.
What time off do you get a year?
Well, we get good enough holidays when we get them once.
3 or 4 weeks.
How can you enjoy them without here in Hawaii? You had to leave after just a few days.
We weren't going to Hawaii. We were just passing through.
We only stayed there the night on the way to Tahiti.
Did you like it?
What, Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii.
It was all right.
We were only staying there the night on the way to Tahiti. Say it again, George. He's
coming. Roger.
Which is the radio station with 10 men on the job?
That's the one that
radio.
You listen to. You should know.
CKNW. CKNW, that's right, yeah.
Don't mention that word.
Then in the political crowd in England, try to carry favor with you and use you for their own benefit.
Now, they all give us a mention just in case.
We had our pictures taken with Bessie Braddock and Harold Wilson, though. Yeah, but we don't know enough about politics to support one or the other, you know.
You're all Tories, is that correct?
Well,
nothing. Well, really? Nothing,
anyway. Whoever gives us the most money, yeah.
Just them.
Do you date any of your teenage
fans? Yeah, whenever we get the chance, but you don't often get the chance to. But we do, you know.
You won't hear then. You won't be able to hear in
Vancouver. I doubt it, no. That's to be pretty quick if
we do. What do you do with all the stuff that gets sent to the room?
All these letters from the room, yeah.
We try and keep as much of it as we can, but we can't always keep it. So a thing like a big cake we send to a hospital or something, you know, because we can't carry cakes around us, you know.
What are you going to do with oak cake?
How about that big oak cake?
What
oak cake?
I haven't seen it.
It's not at the hotel.
Yeah?
How many people do the Beatles employ as a group? The organization, the Beatles, Limited.
Oh, us? I don't know, you see, because most of the people that work with us...
I think we only employ about two people.
Most of the people that work with us work for NEMS, which is our manager's company. Who, and they
we
have artists like Jerry and the Pacemakers, Cilla Black, and a lot of other people, you know, Billy J. Kramer.
We have two permanently with us, one press agent and one road manager. Oh, no, and a heavy.
There he is. This one with a mic.
He's not.
You do carry a bodyguard, then?
No. Who needs him with all those police?
John, how did you make your popularity in England?
No, not according to record sales.
Yeah, actually, before we went to Liverpool last time for the Northern premiere of the film, we've been down in London a lot because we've been doing the film and TV and things, and everybody was saying, I've just been up to Liverpool and they hate you up there and it's terrible, nobody likes you anymore. And we believed them, you know, because we read the paper same as anyone else. And we went up there and it was the most ridiculous reception we've had anywhere, you know. So I give in believing these rumours.
Can I ask you if you've ever had a press reception in a more comfortable room?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Where?
I don't know.
The Black Hole of Calcutta.
How do you feel compared to
Dave Clark? We're compared to everybody.
Don't mind.
How about your horse? How's it?
It's great. The first time out, it's not mine, it's my dad's. First time out, it came second. And the last time out, it won.
And then it died.
Does this mob of police protection come out of your take, or is the management here to accept responsibility for paying them?
I don't know who pays.
Not really sure. Last place we paid at, it was the management of the place.
I don't,
maybe the
so,
same.
You know, we just tour. We don't do all that. Yeah.
You'd miss them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if we can't get in a place, we can't go, can we? That's the promoter's worry.
About 4 more weeks.
What is the best
teenagers?
What
behavior do they have? I don't know. They're about the same all over the world. I think. Just got different accents.
Well, what city have you had your worst time in?
City.
Yes.
I don't know, because, you know, things that some people think are the worst time, we think are the best, you know. But I can't remember a worst time. No, you know, not.
We've not been really roughed at all.
The
biggest crowd was Liverpool.
Liverpool.
How many?
I don't know.
How many?
A lot, just more than the other.
Sydney.
Oh, well.
I don't know, but there was a lot in Liverpool. This is George from Liverpool. Quarter of a million.
You think you'll ever get a night
off? No.
Not if we can help it.
Think you'll ever get a night off?
Good job.
Very good. Quick wit.
Have you got any questions you'd like to ask us?
Can we go?
Can we go? Okay with me.
How long did it take you to make your movie?
8 weeks.
Yes.
We're trying to make it in three, but we argue.
It's good, you know.
How's it doing where it's showing, you know?
It's doing well.
It's breaking records, I've heard. I don't want to brag.
John, now that this conference is coming to a close right here, what's the difference between the English press conferences and those held in Canada or America?
I don't know, really.
Is there any difference at all?
No, they're the same.
Not the same.
People ask good questions.
George, is it true that some of your birthday mail went in the fire and you didn't even see it?
No, untrue. Well, I think so. Actually, it was...
I don't think that was the rumour anyway. You know,
the rumour was it went in the bin. By the time it gets over here, it's on fire.
Some people found some mail, and I think it was about two letters out of thousands, you know, which had been unopened, and they'd been sent to the fan club. The fan club was supposed to open and read and answer it. And there were about two that they'd forgotten to open, so this was a great big scandal, you know. It's just a slip-up.
And I go up and things like that. Any message from Paul? No, that was Paul. We had that 10 minutes ago.
Sorry we didn't make it, because the police took us to the stadium instead.
I'm not joking, I'm not even lying.
We were supposed to go to the hotel.
My brother was an only child.
Something happened. Now were the planes going, you know.
Well-known painter, Joey Carus, was portrayed in oils on velvet. Beautiful. Oh. There's a portrait here at this time being presented to the Beatles by Vancouver's famous artist, Joey Carus. And it's a real beauty, too.
Hey, we won't go down in the south, will we?
How do you propose to transport that back to England?
What's it called?
We'll get it shipped.
The Beatles, yeah.
That's a good title. It's original.
Thanks,
Rob. Thank you, Joe. It's
good. Ship it back to England. Or train it.
That's going to be
deep behind me, painting.
Webster, you have any side comments for our station this time while they're mumbling up there?
Very nice, pleasant guys. They say I don't know the most questions. They're obviously phlegmatic, easy to get along with. They couldn't care less about anything.
I can't say that I blame you.
No. Very casual, relaxed. They look a little bit tattered. They look beautifully handsome in a dry kind of painting that's just been presented to them. They look like nothing.
Look at those haircuts.
Three out of four need a shave as far as I can see. They're pretty unhappy about the way they finally got into the country, I got it. But definitely not staying at the Georgia Hotel.
They are leaving after the show and flying out. But anyway, there we have it, the Beatles and the Beatles press conference. We'll carry on with the On the Town show, and after a while we'll take our On the Town microphone out to the stadium outside, that is, and let you hear some of the exciting sounds of the show while it's in progress. I think for the better part of the evening we will stay here at Exhibition Stadium, because it's going to be quite colorful, I assure you. Meantime, Bruce, if you've got a couple of plugs in, the autograph hunters are here, and we'll go back to you for more music.
Oh, and the location where the Beatles' first American concert occurred, the one-time Washington Coliseum. In his 2004 book, The Beatles Are Coming, author Bruce Spicer reported that it is now being used as a dump for garbage en route to landfills in Maryland and Virginia. Something tells me Alan Sherman might have approved. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2005. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. And I hope that you'll be joining us again at this same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.